security. Behind this national treasury. National treasury, you're welcome. But I don't want you to include the chief director in your delegation, because she has another responsibility. Unless Ms. Wilson, when you say chief director, you mean Ms. Wilson? You mean Gillian? Or you mean another chief director? Because I want someone who is in charge of the neighborhood development class. It's you. Okay, and you are? Since? 1st of March. No, but during last year, someone else came here. Miss Lee, yes. Hope you don't resign, because it's a tough one. Okay. Between the two departments, Ms. Wilson, you're welcome as well. But between the two departments, the intention was to start with women, Department of Women, Children, Youth, and People with Disabilities. I don't know if you have a short acronym for your name, you know. It's not a very short one. The name is not a very short one. You know? So that's something that can be easy to call. So we're starting with you. Okay. If you could please, do we have your, we don't have your name, but please identify yourself.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues, my name is Nontlan Zamkise. I'm the Director General for the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities. And with me here is Mr. Spiwo Machoba, who is the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. And on my extreme left is Unathi Ndobeni, who was seconded to us by Treasury as the Acting Chief Financial Officer. Seconded from
to respond to the questions that started working, I'm not sure when the department was, but you will tell us how it works. But this committee of appropriation, it's a committee that is concerned with expenditure. It receives, we receive our reports from National Treasury. We deal with the quarterly reports of National Treasury, that National Treasury presents to Parliament. And on our observation, we have noted that, that in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, each department is supposed to send account to National Treasury each month, quarterly and annually. So we attend to those reports at a quarterly basis. We first noticed that in September last year, there was no statement from your side. That was for the first 6 months of the financial year. We have also noticed that now, at the end of the third quarter, in December, you are still not accounted. Now, well, in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, in terms of the Money Bills Procedure Related Matters Act, each department, in fact, in terms of the Constitution, each department that receives public funds must account for those public funds. Unless we receive information from National Treasury as to why perhaps certain departments may not account. In fact, I think that the message that we would receive from National Treasury would say, for instance, you are late to account. It would not say that you're not able to account, because we are expecting that each department that receives public funds must account for those public funds. It's a constitutional requirement. And therefore, you, as far as that report, National Treasury's quarterly report, is concerned, the department has not complied with the act. Therefore, the committee was concerned that you were not able to account. I'm sure you are a teacher. You are familiar with the requirements of the Public Finance Management Act. In fact, the Public Finance Management Act says the teachers are accounting officers, and therefore the responsibility lies with the teaching in terms of accounting. Now, we wrote a letter to you that was, in fact, the letter that we wrote to you was a bit different from the letters that we normally write to all the other departments, because we are trying to say maybe there are challenges that are making it difficult for you to present. But I think that we're glad to see that there's a chief financial officer, whether it's in an acting position, but there. Now, to say, please,
you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I would like to, first of all, would like to thank the committee for inviting us to come and explain. As a result, we have tried to respond to the questions that were in the letter of invitation. But before I get into the three aspects of the presentation, I would like to explain, Chairperson, that this department was proclaimed by the President in May 2009, and as from May 2009 it has been incubated by the Presidency. As a result, but as from for 2010-2011 financial year, we do have a vote. In other words, budget was allocated to the department. However, there are serious challenges of capacity that still incubated by the Presidency, and the quarterly reports were submitted by the department. However, those quarterly reports were submitted together with those of the Presidency, because the systems that we are using were that of the Presidency. But as from the 1st of November, we then had two systems in place, the PESAL and a BAS, but we still don't have a logif, because Treasury indicated that we need to have permanent staff that will be responsible for logis, that can be trained and be responsible for logis. Even the audit committee, we are using the audit committee of the Presidency. However, we have started the process of recruitment. The staff members that will be responsible for these functions. We are also compiling the annual financial statements, as well as the annual report that we will submit separately from the Presidency. The question that was saying, what kind of support would we like to receive from the Standing Committee and also National Treasury? As indicated, Treasury has assisted us already by seconding the acting CFO, but also we are working with the Technical Assistance Unit of Treasury, which assisted us to come up with the strategic plan of the department. We managed to submit the strategic plan of the department, but we would still request assistance around the permanent employees in order to assist us with the implementation of logis, as indicated. But also we would need assistance in terms of the appointment of the audit committee, including the chairperson. We have tried to come up with a plan that we will be using in the short term to ensure that we improve on our performance. For instance, the CFO and finance support staff, internal auditors, audit committees, we are envisaging that it will all be in place by end of June. The CFO and the head of internal audit, they are assuming duties on the 1st of April. However, we feel that the other support staff, the recruitment is in progress. But we also need to ensure that the appointment of human resources management employees, the implementation of LOGIS transversal system by 1 June 2011. The reason why we are putting 1 June 2011 is because we think that the permanent staff would have been appointed by that time and of therefore be able to be trained on LOGIS. We think that we will be operating independently from the presidency as of 1 June 2011 because all the systems would have been in place. The submission of annual performance plans aligned to allocated budget of the department, submission of all monthly and quarterly reports to National Treasury, appointment and capacitation of program, sub-program and responsibility managers so that they can report on the performance, relocation of the department's offices to its own leased building, 36 Hamilton Street. We are moving out of the union buildings as from April to occupy our own offices, the purchasing and acquisition of office equipment, including IT infrastructure for the department, and also the submission and tabling of the department's audited annual financial statements for financial year ending 31 March 2011. Chairperson, we felt that we also needed to include the expenditure analysis as of 28 February 2011. Regarding the
Chairperson. Can I preempt you? If they have. Well, okay.
No, I saw the one here. I wanted to
see
the same.
No, it is the one. She is on page. No, there are not. There are no pages, but.
No.
It's under the heading expenditure analysis at 28 February 2011.
I can see that I just saw the cover, it said the presentation to the Citizens Committee. That is why I didn't even bother to read it because I thought we are standing committee, not at the Citizens Committee. I saw this page, but I thought it's a different one because we are a standing committee, not at the Citizens Committee. But I take the point, maybe it was a mistake, Chairperson, on the cover itself. That is why I didn't even read it, because it was written outside the Select Committee.
Yes.
So I thought it's a presentation for a different committee altogether. That is why I didn't even bother to open it while she was reading.
Sorry, that will get there.
Oh, okay.
That difference between the Standing Committee and the Select Committee.
No. I accepted that.
Please bear with them. Tomorrow they will know that the Select Committee means the committee of the National Council of Provinces. And the Standing Committee, they are on the side of the National Assembly. So that's why maybe the announcement is confused. I thought that you would raise something. Maybe I should present it. You're not going to raise it. No, it's fine. Let's just allow them to present the option.
My sincere apologies, Chairperson. It is the Standing Committee. It was a mistake. The expenditure of the department if you look at the compensation of employees, the expenditure is at.
Sorry, I'm trying to go with the subcovered during their presentation. Do you have the statement that you submitted, whether it's to the presidency or to national treasurer, whoever, the one that was made as at the end of December? Or maybe or we will let us disturb you because we had presented, we had prepared this presentation. Okay, clear.
I think it's fair that you give them an opportunity to answer to the question that you have posed. Can you please repeat the question for me, Chairperson?
The question was whether you have that statement that you presented to whether it's to the presidency or to national treasurer as at the end of the 31st of December 2010. Have you got it?
We don't have it here with us, Chairperson, but we did submit to the presidency.
Question later about the presidency and parliament, but later after the presentation.
Okay, proceed.
The compensation of employees' expenditure is a. Reflected there 19 million against a budget of 21 million. And the department is in the process of interviewing and appointing personnel in critical posts, and the assumption of duty on most of the posts will be in the new financial year. This compensation of employees, these are the employees that were formerly part of the presidency, Office on the Status of Women, Office on the Rights of the Child, and Office on the Status of People with Disabilities. The only new appointments at the moment are that of the DG, assumed duties on the 1st of November 2010, and then the support staff. Under goods and services, the expenditure is 31 million against the budget amount of 26 million. The first highest spending item that contributes to the overspending is travel and subsistence, Chairperson. And the main cost drivers under traveling and subsistence are international trips. Because the department is supposed to respond to the international obligations, the UN conventions for the three sectors, and you are expected to report to the UN and also to the AU. The second highest spending item is around advertising. There are two issues here in advertising. The first one is that of the department that is starting from scratch, where all the 195 posts had to be advertised. Posts were advertised in 2010, but Cabinet decided to review the structure of the department, and therefore the posts had to be re-advertised again. The ones that were advertised last year had to be withdrawn, so that the posts that are now, according to the approved structure, were to be advertised. The second point is around the function of advocacy and public awareness. This department is also responsible for social campaigns, as well as coordinating the national days that are significant to women, children, and persons with disabilities. And part of the advocacy and awareness raising is around the issue of advertising in both print and electronic media. Transfers and subsidies, the Commission on Gender Equality is now falling under this department, relocated from the Department of Justice, which is now falling under this department, and the transfer is 51 million, which goes to the CGE. Under capital expenditure, there is a big underspending here, which is 0.3% of the total capital allocation of 6.5 million. The reason being that we are still occupying offices in the Union Building. As indicated, we are only moving in April 2011. And therefore, furniture and other office equipment could not be purchased until we occupy the building. The department in total shows a total expenditure of 102 million against a budget of 106 million. In the following pages, Chairperson, it is where the figures are put as they appear, therefore, for different items. The personnel expenditure, as well as a breakdown in the last page, a breakdown of what has been spent on what item. Thank you, Chairperson.
Let's do it different ways. Madam Wilson. Do you want to assist us? What is it that you're doing to assist the department? Do you want to come in there?
I think that since last year we have built a relationship with the department. Last year it was a bit difficult because the department didn't have permanent employees in the leadership positions like the DG, CFO, and also in DG positions. That made it a bit difficult. But throughout the whole budget process, we basically assisted the department getting the E&E chapter through, getting their budget proposals through, setting up meetings with the department, talking them through their budget request, and then talk them through what we're going to recommend. I think last year the challenge was related around the budget because the department felt that they didn't have enough resources to do what they wanted to do. And I think that was a real challenge. On our side, we had certain limitations as to the resources that was available to allocate to the department. And also we needed to allocate resources in line with the capacity of the department, their ability to spend. So we on our side, we had to create a balance between the resources that we allocate and the capacity of the department to spend. I think that the department is making inroads with the appointment of the DG. I think with getting through MTech was still a challenge because I think when we went through MTech, the department didn't have a strategic plan in place. There wasn't a real plan as to what the department is going to do in the next financial year. The strategic plan was only finalized after the MTech. So there's still, I think, a misalignment between what was recommended in terms of the budget and what the department wants to do. So I think since last month we had regular meetings with the DG, and we basically looked at the strategic plan, the operational plan, and what was recommended in terms of the budget. Just to assist the department that they can actually do the things they want to do with the resources that are allocated to them. Because we don't want the department to have this fancy strategic plan, operational plan, and then it doesn't match with the resources the department has. So we actually sat with the department and say, okay, this is the budget allocated to you, and this is what you want to do in terms of your strat plan, operational plan. And then we assisted the department to actually get that balance between the budget and actually what they want to do. When we sat with the department, I think we agreed that there's enough money in the budget for them to actually move to the new building. There will be enough budget available for the department to buy the necessary furniture and equipment. And there's also some seed funding in the budget for them to start with their programming. I think the challenge is around compensation, and we as Treasury together with the department, we sat together and we work out a plan how the department can work within the budget allocated for compensation. So I think we basically agree that the money allocated for next year will be enough in terms of the compensation and the people that the department wants to employ. There is still some initiatives that we've agreed that there won't be enough money in the budget. I think we've agreed with the DG that there's some new initiatives that came up after the MTech process that the department wants to engage in, and maybe the DG can more elaborate on that. And we will see how far National Treasury can assist the department further. But I think for us is basically working with the departments to make sure that the department spends within the budget allocation, that they don't underspend or overspend, and the department is able to do the policy initiatives that they actually intend to do in terms of their set plan and the operational plan. Going forward, I can surely, now that there's leadership in place in the department and there's strategic direction because we also assisted the department throughout our unit to get that plan in place, which was just a pity that it was after intake. But I think with that in place, I can just see the department has a solid foundation that they can build on going forward. There are still issues that come out in the press and so on that we need to deal with, but we also need to understand the mandate of the department and what is the important initiative that the department would like to engage in to assert their role as a new department. So I think from our part, from National Treasury, I think we have played our role. I don't know, DG can maybe elaborate on that. I think we've played our role. We actually provided the capacity for the department that it didn't have in terms of the financial control and so on. So we at National Treasury played that role. In a way, we must also be cautious that we also look at the department objectively and not actually be involved operationally, but we can provide that support to the department and that we did. Thank you.
Honourable Member. Honourable Dili. Honourable Yengeni. Honourable Mashiko. Honourable Sarah Blom. Honourable Sark. Comrade Medina.
Quickly, as Clara Dr. Mkhize, one would like to find out if now that we have threat plan and operation plan, has that been presented to the portfolio, meaning to Parliament, and adopted, approved? If so, what are the amendment output, simple truth, what is it that you want to achieve at the end of the current financial year? That's one. But linked to that, Chairperson, one would like to know if the doctor has signed her performance agreement with the minister. I think this is linked. If we can share that, because if you assist us, Chairperson, I believe to weigh out the pros and cons, that they are indeed on the right path, if you like, to deliver to their intended objective.
Thank you, Chair. I want to understand this the accountability of the department to the presidency. Exactly where does this department account to? Does it account to the committee and treasury? Because after 2009, if I had the DG, I mean, you said that after 2009, May 2009, the status should have changed in terms of going to the presidency. What happened? I'm worried because the reports that have gone to the presidency, we don't know if it's the same report that was being given here. Reports that have gone to the treasury, we don't know if are the same reports that were being given. So we need to also understand the difference between this report committees of parliament are receiving the same report. The lady from Treasury have confirmed that they have assisted, they've done what they could do to assist the department in terms of capacity. All I want to know, at which stage, when was this capacity given to them? In this page 2 of the presentation to the committee, under goods and services, bullet point number 2, the second highest spending item is advertising. Just explain to me and attach a figure. There's something that is written here, the department advertised and later on drawn, and you know, so just unpack this whole thing. What happened, what amount have we lost as a result of this? Chairperson, you have posed a question or a number of questions in your opening remarks to the department to why the department have not accounted. And when the DG was talking, I did not hear much as to why or what happened to the money. The taxpayer's money that was given to the department. We understand the challenges that the department has been going through and the fact that the department is new, but the money has been allocated to the department. Why is it that the department is unable to account? Is it because they are new, some of them, they are locating, they are still locating as to where the money is used? Why the department has not been able to adhere to the constitutional requirements? That response was not very clear when the DG was giving her presentation. Excuse me.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would also like to know, because I'm looking at your expenditure page. Under goods and services, you have machinery and equipment where you spend some money, and there's another machinery and equipment. Because that item of goods and services, we don't know what type of goods and services were that machinery and equipment as against the office equipment, goods and services. And we are used because you, it's in line a little bit with what Honorable Ngen said, because you will have received some assistance from Treasury. But under consultants and advisory services and agency and outsourced services, you spend some money. Can you elaborate on this based on the fact that we're under presidency and that's where we're incubated, where I think there was a lot of support from that department? Can you elaborate on this amount used there? And I think as a committee, we'd like to have a breakdown of your travel and subsistence, which at the end of December went to 11 million. And based on the fact that nothing was mentioned about your local traveling, where our policies are based, that upliftment of the poor women, our disabled, everybody. Can you align your traveling outside and your local traveling? Because you spelled out that this way international travels, but we like to know what the budget does. We know we need some advice somewhere around the world, but really let's focus it on our government priorities, on the empowerment of that your department is named. I think that's as far as I can go, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. If you look at this document, and I must tell you, I think that is not good for advertisement, for running a public institution. But on the other hand, I know that it is a new department. There is a lot of challenges. My question is simply uncovered actually by the work, the other paper. Expenditure. But if you look at travel and advertising, it's about 40% of the amount that is left over for transfers and transfers and subsidies. Is it possible that we can have an organigram of the department to see where everyone fit in? And then what is the spin-offs of the international trips? Service delivery, the outcome of the disponibility of this international traveling. What is the service delivery component of this at the end of the day? What can we expect? What will be the positive outcomes of that? Thank you, Chair.
Five. You put that expenditure. You've
I'm not going to start by defending myself to say I was not there, because that might be irrelevant, because I'm here now. So I have to provide the answers. Yes, the first question that was asked by the Honourable Member on the strike plan, the date of the 9th of March, we met that deadline. We submitted our strike plan. We do have copies that we could submit to the Honourable Members. And it's a detailed document with all the outputs and indicators on what we are about as the department. On the issue of the performance agreement, we haven't finalized the performance agreement with the minister. We have signed the contract, the employment contract, but the detailed performance agreement, we haven't signed it at the moment, because we wanted to finalize the issue of the strike plan so that it goes into the performance agreement. But we will definitely meet the deadline of 31 May. We would have signed it by that time.
The Treasury was saying that unfortunately they didn't get the APPs in time for the budget process. So you would be signing a performance contract based on something that would be unachievable. So by the 31st of May, do you think that your budget would have been resolved in accordance with that APP? Thank you.
Let us allow the honourable members to respond.
Chairperson, I may as well add to what I said in responding to the honourable member. Treasury has indicated that we've had several meetings, which is part of the assistance that they've given us. And in those meetings, the intention was to take the budget that is allocated. Doesn't matter that it might not be enough, but the exercise that we've gone through, we are still going through that exercise, is to take the budget that is allocated and then we align it with our operational plan, so that when that alignment happens, because Treasury was very, very specific and adamant that we must plan according to the budget that we have. So after that alignment, then that will fit into the performance agreement, because it would have finalized the annual performance plan. The issue of the accountability of the department, yes, we indicated that the department, since its inception, it was incubated by the president. However, it was proclaimed as a department on its own in May 2009, but the capacity was not there for it to operate independently of the president. And secondly, we do account to the portfolio committee on women
plan was presented and approved by the portfolio committee. The issue of advertising, I am requesting Chairperson that we submit a detail, the details to say how much was used for advertising, the posts that were withdrawn, all those details. I'm requesting that we submit that together with the organogram of the department. I will, however, give a brief overview of the organogram of the department, but the details we will submit it to the committee. This whole issue of traveling and subsistence, it's both local and international. It is a concern of the minister and also myself as the accounting officer, because there is a lot of budget that is going towards that. However, we are coming up with a plan. It is important that we report to the international bodies, because the reports that we table there are also part of our daily work as the department, because we are doing monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of all the legislation, the implementation of all the international instruments for the betterment of the lives of women, children, and people with disabilities. However, we feel that we do need to look at the sizes of the delegations. For instance, we have started towards that. For instance, the delegation that went to New York was cut. Those details will be provided as well. What is appearing in the media is not necessarily the truth. We will provide the details of how many people were in the delegation, because the numbers that are coming out of the media, they include the NGOs that have funded themselves, they include the members of parliament that went on a separate activity. So I'm requesting Chairperson that we will submit the detail of the delegation, the breakdown of the expenditure of this 11 million that is coming up here. With regards to the organogram, the department, the posts that have been approved are 195 posts. And there are three branches. Those three branches, if honorable members will see that it's in the last page of the threat plan, where this is how the department is structured, but we ended at the level of the chief directorates. There are directors and other support staff. There are three branches. There is the branch on women empowerment and gender equality, which is headed by DDG. The branch on corporate management, headed by DDG. And a branch on the rights of children and persons with disabilities, with all the chief directorates. it appearing there. I will request the acting CFO to talk about the reporting that took place in order to respond to this question, which was saying why the department did not account. Also, before the CFO, there was a question around outsourced services. My understanding of the outsourced services, and also in the documents that I went through, was the outsourced services around issues of research, for instance, issues of audits that were taking place, and the workshops, the facilitation of workshops, and all those things. So the services, yes, the Treasury and the Presidency, they assisted us in logistics, but in areas of women empowerment and gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, and issues of the rights of people with disabilities, there are services that were outsourced to consultants and yes, advisory services. We are requesting that we also submit the details of those services that were outsourced. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Just the first thing, on the compensation, the right figure is 19 million, the one on the summary. The one on the table is wrong. I've erroneously omitted 1.6, which relates to social contributions. My apology for that. And the reason, some of the reasons of why the department didn't account for the expenditure, for the money that has been used so far. The department didn't have the transversal systems.
I'm sorry, teacher. I think that so that we don't come back to this question. When you give answers, please give them in full. I don't know if the member but asking the government saying no, that figure is correct, this one is wrong. But we don't want to come back and say why are you having these two figures? Because there must be something that led to you the writing of these two figures, so that you can give proper what you call a full answer, so that you can understand, you know.
The question that you are asking the lady to elaborate on this distorted amount that is here, the report that he has sent to the Treasury, the Presidency, and the Portfolio Committee, is it the same figure?
Chairperson, the acting CFO explained that she's apologizing because there was an omission of social contributions, which then would make up for the 19 million. But the correct report, the report that was sent, is the one with 19 million.
So, through you, Chair, are you saying the report, the other reports have the correct amount? It's only this one.
Yes, Honourable Member. What through you, Chair? What has happened is that because
PFMA
constitution and the PFMA enjoins you to do certain things. So it's not about your choice, not about you like it or you don't like it. Clearly, the DG says in May 2011, this department was proclaimed 2011. But if somebody says, no, this department was proclaimed in May 2009, someone could say, no, but it was proclaimed in January 2011. Why? Because the systems are not placed. There's nothing that isn't placed. There's nothing that says to us the department was proclaimed in 2009. From what the Treasury, what you call it, is telling us in terms of the support, what the teacher is saying. The question, for instance, I don't know from the honourable member arose, but the teacher says by May 2011 we have transferred this thing. The financial year of Parliament begins on the 1st of April. Now, your own projections are saying around May, June, you'll be able to do certain things. But, it really worries us. We didn't invite you in October deliberately. Not that we didn't notice. We don't know. You say that, for instance, you sent certain reports to the president. All that was sent to the president is on this, what you call a page of the national budget and expenditure data, third quarter 2011. The expenditure, the detailed expenditure of each and every territory and the president, including all those entities that fall under the president. They are there. Now, about women and children, it's left. It's empty. Now, the reason why I'm requesting with honourable member that maybe we should stop here is what Ms. Ndobe. Ms. Ndobe says, I'm not permanent in the department. I go there as and when I'm required. There is no other department other than yourself that operates like that. All the other departments that have been there, they've got permanent people. And even on the side of National Treasury, I can't understand that you send someone, a National Treasury, deploy someone there that says, no, you're not going to be permanent there. Your functions are here. You'll go and assist there on particular days. For a new, totally new department. Now, we would like to, as you call it, to come with a way forward. I'd like to suggest a way forward that tells us what to call it. Maybe before I do that, or part of that, maybe the honourable member wants to suggest something. Because we cannot operate in this fashion. The department was proclaimed in May 2009. It's going to be 2 years in May this year. There are no systems. I'm looking at what they call the organogram. The DG says no. Each one is headed by a DBG. But it's not what the organogram is saying. Unless that's something I didn't understand. The DG is saying, headed by a DPG, but we see here chief director. I suppose CD stands for chief director. Now, I'm not saying whether that is right or wrong. We're not about to call it the portfolio committee. But I think that the question, I didn't get properly the response to the question that
own people. Our own people first, let alone those conventions that are there. The conventions are fine, because we work within them. But that's why the question, I thought that you would say you are helping the disabled children of South Africa, the poor, what you call the children here, the women here that need your services. To us, primary is South Africa. Then come to what you call it, other responsibilities. But what we can hear properly is whether this organogram is operational or what you are foreseeing. It's not clear from the presentation, because this is what is supposed to happen. So what we really would want to Ms. Wilson from National Treasury, that we can't understand why Ms. Ndobeni is not permanent in this vertical until there is an appointed what we call a CFO. So that she was appointed, started acting in June 2010. But up to now, we're not getting either the proper structure there that really deals with this, what we call it, this kind of thing. But we expect the department to account. That's why I'm saying, in terms of Section 6 of the Public Finance Management Act, on functions and powers of national treasury. And these powers and functions of national treasury are not saying may, they are saying must, to the extent necessary to perform the functions mentioned in Subsection 1. National treasurer must assist departments and constitutional institutions in building their capacity for efficient, effective and transparent financial management. So National Treasury can fail department on this matter. Now you will, what you call, I'm not in your head. But from the report that we did, since May 2009 up to now, last year Ms. Ndobeni was sent there, but not on permanent basis. Well, that's one thing. But the second thing, then, is the, we can't, what you call it, operate in a way where there's a department that is operating in this fashion. Madam Kills, I agree with you. Okay, you're coming. I agree with you. You say you are correctly, you say that you are an accounting officer and therefore have to take responsibilities perhaps that happened prior to your arrival there. But in terms of what is supposed to happen when you are there, the Public Finance Management Act guide us in terms of the responsibilities of the accounting officer. Each accounting officer. Now, I'm not sure, or is it because the department has been located within the presidency that things are moving, you know, at a snail's pace in terms of establishing a department. Because we're supposed to establish a fully functional department. I'll tell you now the responsibilities of Verus 40. But we think that, let me just before I say that, appointment accounting officers. Every department and every constitutional institution, Section 36, must have an accounting officer. That's one. And the responsibility of those I think they are taking time really to effect these kind of what you call it, responsibilities. The accounting officer is responsible for the management, including safeguarding and maintenance of assets and for the management of liabilities and all those kind of what you call the responsibilities that are there are related to what you call it to accounting officers. I'm not sure. I've never worked in a department. I don't know whether it should take 20 years to establish the what you call or how long it should take. You know, I think that when we leave here today, it must be clear that what is going to happen or within certain time frame.
Thanks, Chair. The committee's got two roles, as I'm sure the department knows. The one is to oversight the figures coming in on a quarterly basis, and the other one that is to make recommendations regarding budget allocations. What you were saying, Madam Tucci, at the beginning of the process, at your establishment phase, the budget allocations that were given to you were based on assumptions, and then you would have to trim your strategic plan to meet those. You're either going to fail on your mandate continuously, or you're going to be under budgeted for continuously. So what is Treasury doing to assist you to be able to get that right?
Maybe what I would like us to do, what I would like you to do, to say, Treasurer must do this, because we don't want to go back to question and answer, but we want to give now a direction in terms of how we think that we should assist and how we think that Treasurer should assist the department, so that when we come back here in June with the first quarterly report. Because we will monitor the quarters until we are satisfied that something is being done. Thank you. No, you may proceed.
Actually, look, I agree with you in that respect, but I was just trying to get clear if these figures that were in here for the MTF period were the assumed figures or they were figures based on the strategic plan processes that they went through. And if these are the assumed figures, Chair, the department's doomed to fail from the very outset. If these are the figures that Treasury worked out with the department on the strategic plan, then that's fine. I'm happy. But if it's not the figures that they worked out on the strategic plan and they're the assumed figures, then it's Treasury's responsibility to come with an adjustment appropriation and work with the department to come with the correct figures.
In fact, I'm sorry if I may help. I don't think that BG, with respect, is actually your assertion that the strat plan was approved by the department. I mean by the portfolio committee. I don't think that statement is accurate. Because I have gone through the statement with the chairperson of the portfolio committee.
I think I'm covered now, Chief.
I think you have covered a number of things because to hear that the treasury is not assisting fully. It really is a shock because I listened carefully to the lady when she said that they have given capacity. That's why I was asking, I was still expecting an answer, when was this capacity given? But it's clear that there is no capacity there because the capacity is on part-time basis. And that is why then this department is running to and from the presidency, because they are still finding themselves. But To come back to the time frame, Chairperson, I think the DG has a responsibility to tell us in this committee today, because really to be asking questions that are not going to be answered, it's really a waste of our time and their time as well. Now that the problems are like this, what is that is going to tell us? She must tell us something. When are things going to be right? When are they going to employ people at the right positions so that the work of the department is done in the manner in which it's expected to be done? And the time frames and all the other problems that are under her mandate that are related to the problems that we have seen here, what time frames is she putting in front of us so that when she comes back, we can say to her, you said to us, this is, even if she says, okay, I'll go back, in a week's time, I'll be able to tell you when are certain things going to happen. I'm worried about the consultancies. I'm not going to ask that question further because I was going to ask, my follow-up question was too, if you have the capacity from the presidency and the capacity from the treasury, why then consultancies? So I'm not going to answer that question, but we don't encourage usage of consultancies because they are expensive. Those that you have contracted, I just hope that it's not 5 years or 12 years, 10 years down the line. Now, and the consultancies that you should hire are the consultancies that are going to impart skills to your own personnel so that they are not there on a permanent basis. So I'm not sure, Chairperson, but it's up to you. I'm not sure that with the mess that is in front of us, she can be able to say in June, as they're saying in June, this 1st of June, I'm not sure everything will be in order. But she must be having a short-term and a long-term a plan to address the problems that are there. And the Treasury must do its own responsibilities. We can't sit here as the committee and say, Treasury, this is what we're expecting from you. They know what is expected from them. And we don't want the Treasury to come back to this committee and say, we have done what we have to do. It's like misleading us. You are misleading Parliament when you are saying you have given capacity. There's no capacity there. That is misleading Parliament. Because if the people are there on a part-time basis, then there is no way that this department can stand on its own feet. So, Chairperson, that's what I want to ask. I think the DG must just give us a guidance. What is that he wants to give us so that we can judge her on what she has put in front of us? Thank you.
Thanks,
Chairperson, now you've got to assist me here. I asked the question with regard to the third plan. And you are saying here in passing that you don't agree that this was approved by the portfolio. The information you have is that the committee did not approve it. And I take exception to that, in that the DG said this was presented and approved by Parliament in her response. So, Chairperson, really, unless otherwise I'm persuaded of the accuracy from either yourself or the DG, I just cannot accept that, because it would be again another serious violation or undermining Parliament. Because if Chairperson, I need your assistance here, because we need to put this matter to finality, because there's no way we can allow the situation that people will come to Parliament and laugh. Because if your assessment is true, it means the DG is lying, and
person, then she should be charged for it. It cannot be allowed. It's not done in this parliament while we are serving. Maybe it was done before, or it will be to happen in the future, but not while in our watch. So where is it? Where did it lie? Because I deliberately have to ask that question because it's of interest to me. Because this is supposed to be a guiding document for them to perform as can they are mandated. Can we have clarity on this one? Because I'm very much uncomfortable with it.
Now, let's come just with respect, use the language circumventing. I'm just trying to protect the teaching here so that. I think so. But what I was saying is that I was in touch with the chairperson of the portfolio committee on women, and if you saw me going around, I was trying to get hold of her. She's in a meeting because I wanted to ascertain the statement of whether this was the call that was approved. I'm saying my understanding, which I can't really want to call about, because I wanted to ascertain with the chairperson if they had approved it. But I thought that she had said to me they had not approved it, went through the annual performance plan, where we saw some gaps, and my understanding was that the department was still going to come back to finalize with the portfolio committee the strategic plan. So I'm saying, let's not rush to say no, the teacher is not telling the truth. Let's not rush to say that. But I'm saying, but all I was questioning is the accuracy of the statement in the light of what I heard from the chairperson. But I say I still want to confirm it. I just couldn't find it on the phone.
Chairperson, we can certainly say it was unfortunate to be raised in that fashion because it gives the impression it should not have been raised at this platform in the first place.
Now, I'm saying, but I wanted to check with the. That's why I raised.
No, she has already answered, Chairperson. I'm sorry to engage you directly. She has already answered by saying this was presented and approved by the. That was her response. I am saying, in the light of that non-confirmation by whoever, by the chairperson in particular, I will say that it was unfortunate that it was raised at this platform, in particular by the chairperson himself.
Now, I don't want to agree because I'm saying that is the impression that was created to me, and I want to confirm, I still want to confirm with the chairperson of that. But I want the teacher to confirm when she says that it was approved, whether it was really what you call it approved. I do want to get her to confirm that. Comrade, before we cross, you want to come back?
Thank you. I don't know what is that we are discussing as members. Because if the DG have said it has been approved, that's what you should take for now. If we're not sure, or there are questions on what the DG is saying, we still have time to come back to the DG. We can't be debating whether the DG is right or not right, because we assume what the DG is telling us should be the truth. And if it's not the truth, the DG will account for that.
No, you're right. You're right, thank you. Ma'am, am I right? Madam, I see there is this.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Head of Corporate Services. I signed the submission for the secondment of UNATI on a permanent basis for June 2010. In December 2010, I met him in the corridors of the passage of Treasury, and I asked her what she was doing there. She said she was told by the Department of Women and People with Living Disabilities that there is no desk nor office for her and therefore she needs to be based at the Treasury. My response to her was, I've never heard a CFO of one department spending time in another department because there is no desk or office. So I want to say here categorically that we've never seconded any person on a part-time basis. We are also not in a position to overrule an accounting officer if she says she doesn't have space for that particular seconded person. She was seconded on a full-time basis. Thank you.
You know, what I would like to do, I would like to, when we're done with National Treasury, I mean, when we're done with yourself, I would like you to remain. I want to talk to you outside this meeting. I want to talk to you outside this meeting when we are done with all the official work that we're doing here. But we must appreciate the water project. Treasury has put the water project, has corrected the matter that, I mean, we have had National Treasury. Now, teachers, we want to close. We want to conclude, so you may want to call a comment. Before you do that, let's allow Ms. Wolf.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm just a bit concerned that the honorable member referred to us as misleading the committee. I think that it was now cleared up by our DDG that we appointed a person on a permanent basis. But apart from that, I think throughout the MTF process and throughout the E&E process, we actually did the work for the department because there was no capacity. And apart from having the Department of Women under our control, we have 11 other national departments under our control. So if I talk about capacity, it's not really on a permanent basis, but people actually sat for about 4 weeks doing the chapter for them, because nothing was actually forthcoming from the department. So I think in my mind, we have done more than what the PFMA is saying. We really, I think the DG can also vouch for that. She can call me early in the morning, late at night, tomorrow morning, I'm there at the office, assisting her. I think more than that we cannot do. We can only do with what we have and the time we have available, and that we've done. I think throughout the MTA process, there was no plan of the department in place. And we worked with the department to get that submission through our intake and through Mincombat, and actually through the appropriation process. We actually pushed that whole process. When it came to the E&E, there is a certain requirement that is expected from the department. That wasn't forthcoming. We actually, from our office, did that whole E&E chapter. So I think in my mind, I feel comfortable of the fact that we've done more than what the PFMA is saying that the National Treasury is supposed to do. And I think another issue that the committee must also take into account is the fact that the appointment of the department, the leadership in the department, took very long. I think it's becoming a year or now. And Unati was, actually for me, she was an interim arrangement. And I mean, after a year, there's only, I don't know how many people was appointed now, is now appointed on a permanent basis. So the appointment in the department is taking a very long to actually
Well, thank you very much, but I would like to, on behalf of the members, that's why I was just questioning in terms of the strongness of the language, in case when we have not got to call it concluded, we apologize for that. You want to on something else? Okay.
The chair, at this stage, as the committee, as we sit at here, we don't know what is the truth. I assume the lady Unati, yes, Unati told us something different that is not there on full-time basis. She did not expand full-time basis. She didn't say she is not there because there is no space. The lady behind Unati said she has signed a document that Unati must be there on a permanent basis. Then this lady behind the gentleman, yes, that lady, is saying that they cannot, they're not supposed to be giving people a department on full-time basis. It's on 4 weeks or whatever weeks. No, we're not going to sit. That's why we said, you rightly said, I want to sit down with you so that you get exactly what is the truth. At this stage, there's nothing that we can apologize for until the truth has been put on the table. Because we don't know who's wrong. Is Unati, is the DG, is that lady, is that one. At this stage, until you have made your findings, and when those findings have been made, you will come and tell us in this committee, and where we need to withdraw, we will withdraw. At this stage, it's still confusing. So I think what you have said must remain. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. I think you did receive my apology, but I don't want to enter the detailed discussion. If we, as a committee, have not received some... Oh, I hear the rumblings. Now, I'm saying, Chair, if we don't have sufficient information or the information insofar as we as committee evaluated here is not sufficient, it is within the right of the committee to say to the department that they should go back and come back with a one version of what the committee must believe. If there are three versions in this that I'm hearing, it's not for us here to begin to interrogate, which they must come back with one version that will interrogate based on that version. Because you can't take three versions as a committee and work from that basis. So I would think humbly that you said you want to speak to the department after, outside of this environment. You should do so. But from where I'm sitting, if there's a confusion about the presentation, surely we should get a better one synchronized presentation that we need to work on because we're doing the evaluation in term expenditure. That would be my comment. Thank you, Chair.
I think that you are amplifying what Comrade Yeni was saying. At the end of the day, they must come to the what you call to the committee to say what is this. Clear that for now we're not satisfied. In fact, we had invited the portfolio committee as we normally do with all the what you call the departments. I think unfortunately they are engaged somewhere. The chairperson has indicated to me that she will not be able, they will not be able to attend. But it's clear that we need to invite the department soon so that we can clarify all these what you call issues that are clarified. I mean, that needs to be clarified.
The DG cannot comment on this confusion that we had here, because once we comment, other people will have to talk. So she must not comment about whether there's full staff or there is part-time, not now. She can comment about anything else, not about this confusion that you're worried about. Thank you.
Now, I think you're right. All I was trying to say to the teacher that she must make her concluding remarks. I agree with you that, as Honorable Swart has said, that, in fact, Honorable Swart was very clear in his suggestion that the teacher, maybe it will assist us if she doesn't want to call a comment, because we really don't want this kind of engagement that we have seen at the last time. But I can say, as a committee, we enjoy it, because that's why we invite the department that is supposed to give support, because in the absence of them, people normally say, Natal Federal has not done this. In some cases of infrastructure, public works has not done this. So for us, we invite both departments, so that everyone is there to defend himself or herself. But I would really, I think that we have agreed that with respect to Fiji, that that's what we call adjourn this session. And then, but I request you to remain. I know that you're not very what you call it. You insist that you want to make your closing remarks. But make them, PG, but please don't revisit some of the issues that need to be attended to. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not going to talk about the two issues, which is the issues, the staff, but also I would like to give the chairperson an opportunity to talk to the chairperson of the portfolio committee regarding the strike plan. Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that one as well. Okay. I would like to reiterate what I said regarding the strike plan. There was a portfolio committee meeting that we were called into to present our strike plan. And it was the meeting of the portfolio committee, but also the NCOP, they had a joint meeting. And then we made a presentation. And what made us to say that the strike plan was approved, it's because there was nothing negative that was saying, suggesting that it was not approved. That's the explanation that I can give. It was tabled to the portfolio committee, and it was accepted by the portfolio committee. Whether I may not be I may not be privy to what exactly approval means, but for me, the stress plan was submitted to the portfolio committee and it was accepted, because there was nothing that was said to indicate that it was not approved. The second comment that I would like to make, Chairperson, is that yes, the figures that are in the strike plan are not the assumed figures. The figures that are in the strike plan are the exact figures that are allocated by Treasury in the budget. With the understanding that the other emerging issues will then be accommodated, some of them might be accommodated in the adjustments budget. But the figures that are here are
the exact allocation that was given to us as a department. Chairperson, I just want to clarify that yes, the department was proclaimed in 2009. However, when the department was proclaimed, there was this agreement that it will be incubated by the president in such a way that there was no vote that was allocated to the department for 2009-10. But then the vote was allocated to the department 2010 to 2011. And as a result, because the department was incubated under the presidency, even in terms of the budget, the budget that was used was the budget that was allocated to the former offices, OSW, OSC, and OSDP. And therefore, the reporting and the accounting was happening under the presidency, because that budget was in the presidency in any case. But 2010 to 2011, then there was a vote for the department. And there was no compliance, obviously, in terms of reporting in a way that is acceptable to the committee. Since the assumption of duties of myself as the accounting officer, I had made sure that obviously, because the functions of the accounting officer, as the Honourable Chairperson has indicated, are clearly stated in the PFMA. We started with the, first of all, the organogram that was there. It's the organogram that have indicated that Cabinet decided that we must go back as the department with DPSA and restructure the department. For instance, there were 5 DDGs, and we had to scale down to 3 DDGs. That was the first point of call, to ensure that the structure, the organogram of the department has been approved. We started with that process from the 1st of November when I assumed duties, and it was approved by Cabinet on the 8th of December 2010.
I don't want to disrupt you, but I thought that because we're closing now, I thought that you would just say to us the organogram that appears on the strat plan, if it's an approved one, it's fine. We don't want to go into the details, but yes, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was trying to say that as an to respond to the concern by the chairperson that as the accounting officer, there are responsibilities that are attached to me. And I was trying to say that this is what has happened so far. And as a result, the CFO and the head of internal audit, they are starting working on the 1st of April. So the interviews, everything has been done. They've been appointed. They are starting working. And also, the other staff interviews have happened. They are now to Cabinet, the DDGs. But I also want to emphasize the fact that we have been assisted by the Treasury. Because I've mentioned that in addition to the acting CFO, but also the technical assistance unit, which is part of the Treasury, they have assisted us, and that is why we then managed to come up with a stress plan.
through their assistance, their technical assistance. And we can assure the honourable members that we will come back and report on the issue of the consultancies, the issue of advertising, the issue of the delegations. We will submit those reports as indicated earlier on. We are very committed, Chairperson, to make things right. And as we continue to get capacity, I'm sure we will be a normal department like other departments with the assistance that we are getting all over. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that comprehensive closing remarks. But we, from our side, sometimes you don't misunderstand the members, the reasons for them for us to be robust at times is because they want you to succeed. That's why our letter indicated that we want you to succeed. And then to succeed, it is important then for them to point out perhaps what they think that needs to be done. But on that note, thank you very much. I've requested that maybe you may remain. I hope that you don't have any commitment. Let's invite National Treasury and apologize that we have taken this time, but we had to. We had to, because as indicated that we want everyone to succeed. If they don't succeed, it means that all of us, we have not succeeded. We are in this together. Okay. So you want to present from where you are? Thank you. take a glass of water here, because I think that there is some mutiny here in this army.
Thank you.
can close that door. Thank you very much, honorable members, for the break. No, but we're still drinking tea. Okay, we will continue. Madam Inge, you will introduce the team. But before you do that, honorable members, Bill, Utema Mkar, we are full. Okay. Honorable members, National Treasurer is going to present now. In front of us, we have an apology from the Director General of the Department, Director General Sergio Hanya, that we have worked with over this committee over the past almost 2 years. And we have really enjoyed the support support of the department under his leadership. Perhaps maybe also to convey our congratulations to him on his appointment as a deputy governor, general governor, yes, of the Reserve Bank. We congratulate him and wish him luck and in his new post. We know that he's a capable man. He will succeed even there as he has done with the National Treasury over the years. I think that many accolades come as a result of his leadership as well, that come from all over the world about how South Africa performed as far as the financial reforms are concerned. Well, having said that, we welcome you. We invited you because of this responsibility about the neighborhood, neighborhood development grant and the other one is infrastructure development improvement program. You know, there are two challenges that we're confronted with. One is that of infrastructure. Hence, National Treasury came with these grants to say our towns, our cities, our municipalities lack this infrastructure. Now, National Treasury introduced this grant. Now, you will agree with us that this grant has not performed well over time. And now, as a committee, it may not be official, but we are reviewing, we're looking at this grant. Maybe reviewing is the it means that we are failing on the second responsibility of contributing to the alleviation of unemployment. Now, you are a very important department as a national treasury. Besides your own responsibilities, you also have the responsibility to support other departments. So you are a leader of the pack. But it means that the leader then must also lead by example. You can't go to women and children's department and say you're not performing, when in your own backyard you're not performing yourself. Now, your own report says there's going to be a possibility of under expenditure of between 2 to 3 billion. Now, you're taking it from your own what is called a report. Now, what does it say to us if there's going to be that kind of under expenditure? Well, in the first place, I tried to look at what was the original budget. Why are we talking about an underperformance of between 2 to 3 billion? I had difficulty in finding it because the amount that I found in the Division of Revenue of 2010, I assume that when you're talking between 2 to 3 billion, there must be this should include rollovers or what. Because when I checked the amount that was appropriated does not amount to this. But in the past, some of the issues that I want you to respond to and address that, but in the past, we have said this grant is underperforming because the terms of reference, if you like, are complicated. Because if they were not complicated, municipalities would be spending it. They would be spending, but they are not spending. The lady, what is her name? What's her surname? Yes, that's her name. Difficulty pronouncing it. Well, we have said to us, she must come and explain to us as to what is it exactly that is expected of municipalities. Why are they not performing? Clearly, if they are not performing, there's a reason. And we want you then to tell us why is that a grant under your own charge is not a phone. And what is it that is going to be done perhaps to address it? May I invite you then to address us? Can introduce yourself, the team, and everyone. I assume that these are the two. Are you going to present separately? Over to yourself.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Marian Winang Tembo in Corporate Services. Able supported by the CFO, who will do the presentation, and Mr. David Farniger and Geshi Karuru Sabina, who are both in the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant. Mr. David has just taken over from Lee Penninger, who was the lady. That's why he's supported by Geshe, who's been there with us for longer than 3 years. We also have the team from the Infrastructure Development Improvement Grant that is meant for the provinces. And I have Mr. Siponkosi and Mr. Michael Ramavi. I think I've mentioned the CFO's name is Mr. Dalu Matenge. He will fly through the presentation so that the members would have ample opportunity to engage both David and Sipo and Ramavi. Thank you very much. Yes, Chair. I might not be the most able leader of the tank. I'm not in the coal face of that service
why
delivery.
Why are you having Mr. Chanamebe as a tank here? You don't want to join us here, Francis?
Thanks, Chair.
Good day, Chairperson. Good day to the honourable members. Yes, we did receive your request to appear in this committee. However, we also added some few items just on it. You'll see that we now separated the infrastructure plan to the provinces versus the IDP, which is Infrastructure Delivery Improvement Program, and we just added the vacancies for transparent services. We are transparent. To ensure that is the case, just so that you know when you're saying additional information on it. As the DDG Corporate Services has said, Marion, I'll just quickly go through it so that you've got lump sum of time to do a search. One of the things which I can say is that two of these things, as you rightfully said, so relate to the grant, which is the infrastructure grant to provinces, and also the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, two of them, and then the other one refers to just a program which provides technical assistance in terms of now ensuring some of these things, they move out of the ground, which is the IDA. And then you can reflect to the vacancies, how is the department doing? Just to, as an overview, infrastructure plan to provinces, it's just a network, it is a conditional grant, but just to supplement in terms of now, it's not the main one, is to supplement so that the infrastructure project, which reflects to the provinces like education, health, roads and transport, is able to be utilized in an efficient manner. So, but it is managed through the Division of Revenue Act. So there is an act which gets appropriated, I mean, which gets enacted by Parliament in order to ensure that act, you know, the conditions of it are met. So one of those things in terms of now is to create accountability and responsibility also to the relevant provinces. So that act, anything which is going to be withheld, we need appropriate engagement between Treasury, the provinces themselves, and then the minister, of course, become part of the process. There's a slide which reflects the third quarter expansion outcome. We've also provided the projected saving, which is you rightfully spoke about, Chairperson. I can say so, that the 11.3 billion is the amount which is reflecting on the budgeted budget, Chairperson, which I still have the previous one. So that 11.3, it is there in terms of infrastructure current to provinces. So that, in December, it was about 6.7 million which was spent on it. It is projected that at this moment there's a memo which has been approved by the minister, which of course, what it says now is that although that money will not be transferred, I have to write to this list, although the amount is not transferred, the amount will be requested as a rollover because we don't want to dump this money to the provinces and then at the end of the day, they use it for other activities, which are not meant for the initial purpose. So that 2.5 billion as much as will be not spent this financial year. It will be requested as a rollover to ensure that the things which were meant to be done, they are part in good condition. The others, the Chairperson, I'll just fly over them. It's in terms of now providing the detail of the expenditure. So you can ask questions which are related, how the provinces, they are working in terms of now. KwaZulu-Natal, for example, is much better in terms of the spend, and Western Cape, others, they are lagging a little bit behind in terms of now some of the spending. So it's just to provide the details so that you can see how the provinces they are performing during this period of time. Similarly, we've categorized it per the provincial departments. It says health, you see at the top it was education. This one is saying health in terms of how they are doing. And this one is roads and transport. So per province again. So you can see individually how the provinces they are doing. And in general, that's what I was increase is going to be 1.8 billion, which was going to be with us. But however, things didn't improve that much in the period. And as a result, it was decided that it would move to about 3 billion, which subsequently changed because certain provinces, they did meet certain conditions, and we did release the money which is there. Because one of the critical things is that we don't want to dump the money for the sake of dumping. We need to ensure that certain conditions are met. Of course, we need to provide that support which is needed in those places. As I said, in general terms, I'm not going to go per province in terms of as it is at this moment. But what I can say, Chairperson, is that the general things which are happening per province is that there is capacity aspect in terms of provinces, which still we need to deal with. There is poor contract management, which is there. There is also the issues of appointment of subcontract workers, you know, or subcontract contracts, which are actually there, which is still a challenge. There is also the issues of poor management in terms of now the payment, which resulting in delaying of the payment to suppliers. There is also the issues of supply chain management, which they need to ensure that they are in place. There is a delay aspect, which they instead of if you plan the tender process for 6 months, it takes probably more than a year in order to finalize it. So there are those challenges. And some of the things like feasibility study, which are not appropriate in terms of now to ensure that the infrastructure funding is afforded that opportunity. That is the infrastructure to the provinces. And then in terms of now the infrastructure delivery improvement program, which is a support program. It is a support program. I have to say, this is not exactly a grant. It is a support program in terms of ensuring that the money which are meant for infrastructure in terms of now, because it was identified there is a gap in terms of now. We provide this money for the infrastructure, but the provinces, they are not exactly ready. So as a result, what happened in the Treasury, they said there should be that kind of, to bridge that gap, we need to build that infrastructure development program. So to ensure that gap is kind of bridged. However, it is projected that it will be about 50 million, which will be an underspending in this particular year. And the reason they are there, one of the things is that IDIP was coming in there from 2003, if I'm not mistaken, but now it has phase one, phase two. And phase two was not yet closed, and there were lessons learned which are critical in that process. And then now it was decided that what should happen is that we should be using technical assistance unit in order to ensure that there is that proper deployment as treasury to ensure that support is on that uniform base. And then what happened is that through that process, the process only started in July now to deploy those technical assistance. That's why there's been this kind of movement which is happening. And it is to ensure that those gaps in terms of now sustainability, they are actually there. Because what could happen is that you appoint a technical assistant, and that technical assistant is not a long-term technical assistance. It's a short-term. And once that person leaves, then you are left with a gap. So the program is now is to ensure that there is that sustainability which comes into place in future to ensure that gap is bridged. And there are issues of now, what happened is that because of this, we needed to ensure then that all the procurement database, that is people who are supposed to do the work, you know, they are part of the process. So what happened is that within it, then that process, in terms of ensuring those skills, which was a prolonged one, because now it includes a long list of database or people who were supposed to execute certain activities. It took much longer. And that's why now you saw that technical assistance deployment from July to 2010. But projecting going forward, that has been taken into effect. And then this is more of how we support in terms of neighborhood partnership grant. You know, how we support. So there are different guidelines, different framework which we need to, different workshops which come into being, you know, to ensure that the municipalities, they've got that kind of a support which is needed in order to execute the activities. But as said, you know, in terms of now, you'll find that those challenges which are actually embedded, that as much as that is the support, municipalities need to also take their responsibility from their end. You will see from these things what is happening is it does tell you in terms of the achievements which have been done ever since neighborhood came into being, that is 7 and 8. So there have been the kind of movements, certain awards which came through in the process. For example, 7, 8, 9, and 10, there were about 72 awards, and then moving to 9 and 10, which was about 90 awards. But there has been some progress ever since Jefferson. And then the key reasons, which is happening in terms of now the slow spending by the municipalities, you'll see that some of these key reasons, they are almost, in a way, invertible. The same, they are happening in IGP1. So you will see that in the process, then it tells you that there is that gap which needs to, you know, all the role players need to come into being. The issues of the implementation planning approval being delayed, you know, which results into the issues of quality and compliance, because we need to ensure that quality and compliance are also in place. The issues of SEM, so that if then there has been an award, then that award should be awarded to the right people who can do the work. And issues of now the municipal officials, you know, the ban that is, or the turnover of key municipal officials. So all these aspects, they need, not to say that we don't have mitigation measures. As you have seen, that there are certain mitigation measures which could be more. I'm saying that this is the aspect which we could add on in terms of now in those mitigation measures. And then this is just to say what has happened in terms of now up until February. So there has been some spending which is happening in it, and I won't go that much in it. What I can go in is on this one, on the third quarter, that in the third quarter, there was about 31.6% spending in terms of neighborhood. And one of the things which is happening, the capital grant has not been spending accordingly, which you rightfully said, Chairperson. And there are certain reasons which have been highlighted previously in it. And it is projected now that there will be about 273 million which will not be spent in terms of now that municipal grant. And if you go to this slide, just on this slide, based on that aspect, it then tells you that if then the municipalities, they are not ready, then you need to say what is the proposed plan going forward. There's been a proposed phase budget, which now is more to deal with certain deliverables, you know, which have been revised based on assessing the capacity of the municipality to deliver. So over the MTF, that's what you have been done. We want to assess now those municipalities in a realistic, taking the lesson learned from the previous sequences or previous allocation of previous spend. And now that allocation is more in line with what municipalities in terms of now their capacity. And generally, the additional aspect is more of in terms of now the vacancies, in terms of up until the third quarter, which were about 108. And some of these included interns, which were building the pipeline development, and there are issues of the skills, which sometimes we, like economists, the economists, the people who have got banking experience, all those things, they are embedded in it. However, there has been an improvement in terms of, you know, from them up until now. And this is just a slide, just to explain now the critical skills, which we are saying that we are, no, they are not there at this moment. Or if you get it, the issues of the cap, I mean, how much we are paying in terms of now, because they are already on high scale. So General Chairperson, I was trying to go through it in a faster pace. If then you really need me to go back and explain something else in terms of the presentation, I can rightfully do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Machega. Any additions? Okay. Not a member. Over to yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. Unfortunately, every year the problems are the same. My question is that last year we heard that there is a cluster of local government, of treasury, and of public works to address many of the issues that is here in this document. Can we listen now to the underspending and listen to the some places there is the lack of discipline? My question is, and the information was, if I'm correct, there will be a quarterly basis meetings between the coordination between your department, National Treasury, and the other departments. How successful is between National Treasury and the other departments? How successful is this meetings? That's my question. And also, if you look at that local government, there's a training program in place where National Treasury took the lead. How successful is that training program? And yeah, I will stop there. Because if you go through this, then there is definitely a tendency, what do you call it? Tendency that between the line there is a lack of coordination. And I'm not certain if the problem lies with the training of the personnel, or is there a lack of understanding between the departments, or a lack of cooperation? Because that is a thing that I think we must address as officials. And I want to ask you, what is the progress in this regard? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask this question, and it's in relation to this rollover that you mentioned that there is going to be a rollover of this 2 billion. I just want to ask, you say in one of your slides that there has been a degree of alignment to capacity. Are you saying, therefore, that in terms of the grant itself, when the grant was introduced, it did not tell it correctly with the capacity in the provinces in relation to the needs of the grant? So it is a grant that you arrived at without understanding the whole capacity. So in other words, it was not necessarily planned collectively for the grant. Is that what is implied in the statement? Because it seems to be suggesting that you need, for a grant to be effective or to be spent, you needed a lead period, a lead time of X months. Here you're referring, it's almost a year, so therefore the lead period of this grant to be able to do with the capacity, linked to capacity, would take something like 9 months before the alignment of department and ability to pay or to spend. Now, the second question that is closer to that one is, did you say that the two billion rollover is already been approved? I almost had to say there is a rollover. Is it being granted? This 2 billion rollover. And I was interested just to hear the reason, because for rollover to be granted, it has to meet certain criteria within the PNFA. Now that would mean, of course, you are rushing through. But I didn't hear that in terms of the rollover, the prescript that directs the rollover is here be met, or is it because it's treasury and the rollover fund, because obviously they sit the tall amongst the equal, so this is applicable. I just want to understand that. And so if you say so, you're now speaking, looking forward. That forward looking, there is not going to be the under expenditure, given what you now conclude that there's been alignment, capacity alignment with the department and the department's ability to spend. Is that a statement of fact that you're making? Or it's you're suggesting it may well be? Because the financial year will start from 2 days from now, and we're going to continue to monitor and ask this very same thing about the capacity questions. Thank you, Chair.
Jefferson, thank you so much. In your opening remarks, you said the treasurer should lead by example. If you are a leader, you must lead by example. Now, if we are going to find the same problems that we find from the department, from the treasurer, what is that? Do we really expect to see the change in the department, in the treasurer itself has the same problems that the department is having? Now, I don't hear quite correctly as to why this underspending. I heard the presenter talking about the guidelines that must be followed, and the technical teams were sent to go assist in those provinces that have managed to get this assistance. Improvement has been done, but when the technical assistance leave, things go back to square one. If I quote you correctly, once they leave, there's a gap. I think those are the words that you have used, reverting to the gap. Now, it's clear that the technical teams that you are sending, they are only going there to assist and go. They are not imparting. They are not training. They are not reproducing themselves. Meaning that the problem will reoccur. Wherever they go, there will be a difference in terms of improvement. And when they leave, there will be a gap. Understanding is a problem. Because when you understand, it means there are people who are suffering on the ground in terms of receiving services. And the ruling party is under fire from the opposition party and from the people that the services are not there. And we have the departments that are empowered and have been given resources to deliver these services to the people. And what happens? The department come and explain why we understand. We're really not impressed by all these explanations of understanding. All we want to hear is how are you solving the problem? When you come next time, what is that you are going to do to see to it that this problem is not recurring, it's not escalating? That's what you want to hear. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Comrade. You know, maybe I'll also just emphasize on the questions raised by the two speakers. The first one is around monitoring. This infrastructure grant to provinces, I think is the one that you said 2.47 billion was not transferred. And all of them are understanding. But clearly, all of them, in terms of the priorities of government, are very important, what they call an infrastructure grant, to turn things around there. Infrastructure grant, the description says it must help infrastructure, build infrastructure in province, in education, in health, in transport. Calvatical area, all of them, but they are underspending. Now, how we monitor this grant? How do we monitor them? And I'm not sure whether there's a question that community we are raising around this technical team as to are they residing in treasury? I don't know whether this is I assume because if it's a vote or to call it 9 grant under vote 9, I assume that you directly want to call it responsible for. If you go to Eastern Cape, people are crying about infrastructure at hospitals all over the country, but money are not being spent here. See, the other thing, what I read here, is that now the reason for understanding issues of supply chain management, delay. These grants are, you indicated to us that they fall under the Division of Revenue. But the Division of Revenue Act of 2010 says, for instance, preparations for next year's next financial year and financial year. Section 26 says the provincial department responsible for implementing the infrastructure grant to provinces must, by a date determined by provincial to submit detailed infrastructure plan in a format determined by national treasurer to the provincial treasurer, and provincial treasurer must submit the infrastructure plan to the national treasurer by the 31st of August. Now, we're raising issues and changes that take place within the what you call a financial year. Now, you are responsible for the implementation of this act. Now, the other question related to this is what Comrade Ramasakana raises, but the rollover. Because with National Treasury, you have approved it just before even is what you call it. Applications are submitted. I mean, you're responsible for approving the what you call it rollover. But the issue is, do this what you call the intentions of this act apply to national treasury or only apply to departments? And if so, you think that you comply with the requirements then of this? Because that's what leads to, on the infrastructure grant, that's what leads to the understanding. But on the IDP, IDIP, is the one that you say now is being reduced now. Sorry? NDPG is being reduced. You know, last year the committee visited Eastern Cape just to see for ourselves what is happening on the ground to provinces of electricity and sanitation, because National Treasury had stopped it. Now, when you stop a grant, we under the impression that you say you're stopping it because it has achieved the goals that it was intended for. Is that the case here? That you think that that neighborhood development grant is because you're reducing it, maybe moving towards closing it altogether because it has achieved its goals? Is that why? Is that the case? And I'm not sure about this award that we're getting, 90,000 depending. So what are these awards for? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I will answer those ones that I'm capable of answering, and I'll hand over to my team. I think I'll start by saying both grants are a pool kind of grant, so the municipality or the province needs to request the grant. The assumption that you take is you look at the infrastructure map and you realize that there's mud schools in the Eastern Cape, there's mud schools in the Free State. And you base your request of the grant on the need on the ground. Having based your need on the need, the next thing then is to ensure that the people who are actually on the coal face of that delivery, which depending on whether it is at a local level or it's a provincial competency or a municipal competency, one of those two organs of state will then request, which is the pool effect. Now, one of the key challenges is on the pool side. The pool side is this format in some cases that people need to fill in. And you find that the municipality does not have the capacity to fill in that form that you may have thought is quite simple. Ensure that, which is one of the problems, ensure that there's a person who is responsible for monitoring the project manager at municipal level, or at provincial level. And what you end up with is there's this big need, and there's this 60% request based on the needs that you've assessed, and that is one of the key challenges. As I said, I'm not on the coal face, but the guys who are on the coal face will be able to expand on that. That's one of the basic problems and challenges that we've had. Certain mitigation things have been done, have been put in place. There have been these committees at national level involving both public works and local government and the treasury that seek to assist both the provinces and local government. How successful they've been in terms of the meeting, I'm not sure, but in terms of the improvement on the ground, I think I'm relatively comfortable. We may have been much more enthusiastic in terms of thinking that the take-up would have been faster if you see the increases in the grants themselves over the years. I mean, I think in one of them we've increased by 64%, but we haven't had that kind of response. There's been improvement, but the response has not been the same. But I'll leave it to these guys, I think, in a better position to say the rest. In terms of the rollovers, you can only request a rollover after the end of a financial year. There's got to be commitment of the funds that you're requesting the rollover for. I think the CFO may have interpreted or said it incorrectly. There's no way that you would know that you'd get a rollover before the end of May, because we are not the deciders of the rollover. And there's got to be evidence that the funds have been committed. So there would be a contract in place and probably a trench dug somewhere that says there will be what you call storm water there, or there will be the beginnings of a school building here. But there's work done and a commitment of the funds that would then be a precursor to you coming to even ask for the rollover. The fact that you've asked, the money has been allocated to you and you haven't spent to you, doesn't necessarily mean you will be granted a rollover. The rules are very clear in the PFMA, and they apply to the Treasury just like any other department. Now, the issue of the monitoring of the infrastructure grant to provinces, I think the monitoring is at a two level. If it's at local level, there's a monitoring by probably the district municipality, depending on the type of infrastructure. For instance, if it was bulk water, it would be the district municipality. If it was reticulation, it would be the local municipality. And then there will be provincial monitoring of issues like education, which is a concurrent function, education and I think health, between the province and the national department of either health or education. Now, that monitoring, I think, takes place effectively. It's when people are not providing reports or not doing things according to the prescripts that then you realize that money has not been spent because the province has either withdrawn or refused to hand over the money because certain things have not been met. And I think that's where one of the challenges is, because the Treasury then monitors what the province is telling the Treasury. And that's where the gap is in some areas. There's been a question around whether we really, or the committee, would expect to see changes in other departments when the Treasury is not leading by example. I don't think I'm in a position to answer that, because I think this is about three parties involved, and if one party doesn't have sufficient capacity, we also have to take care that we are accountable, or we can account for the funds that we have transferred. And in cases where there's a difficulty in being able to say, if there's somebody said they were going to erect a school there, there is no plan for erection of the school, there is nothing that shows me that there will be a school, then I can send the money. It becomes quite tricky.
So, I don't want to disrupt you. Maybe you didn't get the question. The question is based on Section 26. Can I say Section 26? Section 26 talks about preparation, so that you don't have to transfer the money. It says by August 31, it is the bill. It is the act from National Treasury that
if the forms have not been filled in and we don't transfer the money to the provinces, then there's a problem. And in some cases, there's no request, and the forms in the prescribed formats have not been filled in, and then the money is not transferred or it's withheld. That happens. And I'm not in a position to expand very much on that as to why sometimes provinces find it difficult to actually meet that deadline.
The question that we are asking is that this, the business revenue is prepared between provinces and everyone. Everyone agrees on the tenet of what you call it, the Act. Now, the Act says you, National Treasury, people, provincial, must spend by certain days, and National Treasury by the 31st. In other words, you should know by then that people are ready to implement. That's what this Act is saying. Now, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't know, maybe other members are hearing what you're saying, but I don't understand. Because I say in terms of this Act, the questions that we're raising are based on this Act. That the indication, the province will indicate by the 31st of August that this is what we want to do. By certain days, we are ready to implement before the monies are transferred. I don't understand what you say. Maybe the other members do understand. I don't know.
Thank you so much. I don't know which is the right word to use, but I don't understand the explanation by the lady, because the money, the Treasury is the custodian of the money, and therefore the Treasury must account this. It's what is going on to other departments. When we allocate the money to the department, it doesn't mean that the department is going to use this money here internally. There are other parties involved. But there is no way that these departments are going to tell us, no, we're not able, there is, and then point fingers somewhere else. When they are custodians, they have a responsibility. So the responsibility is the Treasury. And therefore the Treasury must not shift blame to other people. You have a responsibility to see that all these guidelines that you are talking about, including the documents that have to be filled in, that those people on the other side, are in a position. If they are not, you also have the responsibilities in your shoulders to make it a point that those people are being trained so that they fill the forms in the correct manner. So we don't really accept your explanation. That because you are like saying, on our part, we are fine, but the problem is on the other side. It's not only us. We don't accept that. You have a full responsibility to see to it. All those people who should be receiving this money, they understand everything. It's your responsibility. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair, I think I take full responsibility of the fact that we're not transferring the money because not everything's being met. And I think I take full responsibility of saying there's training, there's technical assistance given to those units, but still there is not enough coming as a pool to ask on request for those monies. And that's when we then don't transfer the money. I think my team can help this.
Thanks, sir.
It's good what you are hearing. But, you know, we said initially, we are not impressed by the department coming to tell us why they have money. They must tell us how they are going to improve, because they have full responsibility to see to it that whatever conditions that are there, to get the money are met. How then do you reduce the problem that you have outlined on the other side?
No, Chair, thanks. I wrote down here the word shocker, because I was shocked to hear that there is a problem that result into rollover as a result of people's inability to fill a form for the money to be released. It's shocking, to say the least. Now, if the treasury functions, assuming it functions, and they have their forums on monthly or quarterly, and they anticipate and they have a problem, isn't it your responsibility that Municipal A or Province A is struggling to fill this form, which has been created by Treasury? Because Treasury creates regulations and forms to make sure that you give capacity to hold their hand to fill in this form so that the money can be released for this particular project. So, to me, it sounds like a bureaucratic approach of somebody who's sitting in London and somebody who has to perform the function is sitting here, and you are divided by the sea, you are unable to help the person. But here we're talking about the Treasury who interact on regular basis with provinces Treasury, and they enter regularly with municipality in terms of their clusters and their way in which they deal with this issue. What stopped Treasury to hold their hand? Because it's quite bureaucratic. You're waiting for a form to be signed. When the form is not signed, nothing happens. Is there no other way that you can devise a Treasury, a mechanism that addresses this particular problem? Because, I mean, how do you explain to people that are waiting for a service that the money was not released because the form was not signed, and the holder of the form was waiting for someone to sign the form, and the form was never signed in requesting pooling the money for this particular function? So maybe I'm making this thing look too simple and small, when actually it's not. But you are the creator of the forms. You should be able to capacitate those who understand, in fact, including holding their hand to fill the forms. Because, I mean, the country is very small. It will take you 5 days to fill in to help them.
if they have the project is there, all that is required is a form and compliance form. Why is it not happening? That's really what I'm sitting here stunned on. I'm shocked to hear that explanation, that equal $2 billion, right, as a result of not being able to use the money because of that reason. Whose head must roll, I ask? I don't know. But certainly, what is the punitive measure, or not maybe a corrective measure, that has been taken on those who are holding, who are sitting and not doing anything when there's a problem of this nature? I ask, I don't know. But surely, somebody who's sitting higher should be able to say something is going wrong, because I think I don't just can't understand that explanation, frankly.
I think that what you are raising, I've noted your hand. What you are raising, Honorable Ramathagan, I don't understand that you say, municipality, if you want to use this money, here's the money. If you don't have the capacity for business, bye-bye. We have nothing to do with hold. In terms of Section 16, Section 16 of Penal Revenue allows us to withhold. Is that the main thing? The Constitution says, Section 154, the national government and provincial government must, by legislative and other measures, support and strengthen the capacity of municipalities to manage their own affairs, to exercise, not to walk away and say, no, it's your business. We have a section here that allows us to withhold. So to you, the important thing is to withhold. Is that power to withhold? Not the power to... Not really. As Mr. Ramakadana is saying, we can't understand. We just can't understand from our side why is it that the important clause is that of withholding, not that of building, of assisting to build capacity. That's why at the beginning we asked the question, who is responsible for this? Is it directly your grant, or coming from the functional department? Or what? If it is your grant, how are you implementing the Section 154 of the Constitution? Ms. Minam Tembe says, no, it's not your business. You give them, you walk away. You withhold. And Section 26 that I read here says, these people, before you give the grant, the receiving, what you call a people, must ensure that they are ready by the water cost. You prepared this division of revenue. We did not prepare it. It was prepared by the department. Mr. Who? Your team wants to help, whoever.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I think maybe I wasn't clear. The team will explain what sort of assistance they give to both municipalities and provinces. I will give over to them.
I'll just tell you that we don't want to hear what you say in the future. I mean, to us, withholding is not the most important thing. It is not impressing us. It does not help the ordinary person there who is supposed to receive this service, because the municipality doesn't have the capacity. So the community is there. No, they are not important because the municipality does not have the capacity. Please, let's not approach it like that. We're dealing with the people, with the life of the people here who need these services.
Thanks, sir. Let me start by saying the withholding of the infrastructure grant to provinces does not really mainly relate to non-submission of forms or infrastructure plans. So it relates currently mainly to low levels of spending on infrastructure. And some of the reasons that were given for that low level of spending is poor performance by contractors, or late assignment of contractors, suspensions of officials, and hence no one to make decisions in the departments, and so forth. Because as part of our monitoring, so we receive around August, as you rightly said, infrastructure. infrastructure plans, what we currently call user access management plans. And what we do when we receive those draft plans around August. So we assess them together with the sector department and give feedback to provinces on where they need to improve in terms of compiling those plans. And also on a quarterly basis, they submit infrastructure, a quarterly infrastructure report, and we also conduct infrastructure site visits as part of our monitoring and oversight role. And then the withholding this year of that 2.47 billion is mainly due to low levels of spending because of the reasons that I just highlighted. And even within the infrastructure grants to provinces framework, we did allow for capacity building in that within that framework to say if provinces feel that they need additional capacity in terms of implementing infrastructure projects, they must submit the capacitation plan to the provincial treasurer that must be approved in collaboration with the national treasurer to make sure that there is sufficient capacity to actually implement those infrastructure projects. And I think there's something that we highlighted to say the plans that we receive around August, the plans that we received, for instance, for August, in August last year, were the plans for 11-12, the upcoming financial year moving forward. So the final plans for projects that are implemented in the current financial year, for instance, the final plan for next year will be received in April this year.
Mr. Ramat, I was reading this clause because we're dealing with, this is a principal clause. This is a clause that is there. Even if you can bring the old, what you call a division of revenue. So what I'm reading is a principle that comes from National Treasury. So I'm not reading something that I'm not familiar with. I'm reading the requirements of National Treasury with regard to preparation for infrastructure that must take place in a province the following year. Even if you take 2009, it will have this clause. It may not all that will change it right there in terms of the date, you know. But the principle is there. In other words, what National Treasury is trying to promote is preparation, is planning. This is what the clause is all about, and the other clauses of the previous years is planning. So what are you saying there?
I was saying when we review those plans, we do assess them, and obviously they indicate if then the province, what are the projects that the provinces are going to implement in the coming years. But obviously, they will give us a list of projects in those plans to say these are the projects that we are going to implement from next year going forward. So what we do, we then monitor these projects. But again, if the following year, for instance, they delay appointment of contractors or they change when they submit a final plan, they change maybe some of the few projects. That actually has an impact as well moving forward in terms of the initial list that they will have submitted. Because some of the reasons that are in that presentation relating to underspending, in particular in transport, was the shortage of asphalt material, which obviously much of the plans are there, but if asphalt material for instance is not there, then such projects cannot be implemented as such.
Thank you. Chairperson, greetings, Chairperson, and the members of the committee. When you introduced this discussion, Chairperson, you asked a couple of questions, and one that got stuck in my mind is the one where you were asking, are these grants understood by the department? I took that question to be saying, to me, coming from the capacity building program, the IDEP, I took that question to be asking, is IDEP understood by the grant receiving department at the provincial level? And the short answer, Chairperson, is no. The reason for that is a high staff turnover in the department. Whether you're speaking at the level of HODs or you're speaking at the level of somebody who is really putting that asphalt on the road. But here are the three things that I wanted to talk to immediately when I had that question, Mr. Chairman. From the capacity building point of view, yes, the issue about capacity and the increasing budget has been with us for quite some time. But from the capacity building point of view, there are things that even ourselves we may not be in a position to implement or to enforce because they fall outside of our mandate. But what we have came up with going forward, to a certain extent, it will come through in the 2011-12 division of revenue strongly. These three things, that in order to address the issue of the high staff turnover, we have come up with the infrastructure human resources framework that will give structure or advice into what type of skills and how should an infrastructure unit of an implementing infrastructure department look like. What are the minimum skills that need to be there? And against that, what retention strategies need to happen or need to be put in place? And who should be accountable for that? At the moment, we are working with the HODs in resolving that issue. We have started the process in Western Cape Department of Public Works. We have started it also in the Department of Health in the same province. We will be piloting it in two other provinces and hopefully rolling it out over the next financial year. The second big thing that we're trying to do, that we will do with the assistance of the legislation that will be passed, the Division of Revenue, is to standardize the infrastructure delivery process. So the issue of people not being able to do what they're supposed to do, for example, in the past grant framework, we had a portion in terms of percentage of building the capacity, or that was intended for departments to build the capacity. But when departments applied for the utilization of that up to 4%, we were not satisfied in terms of their skills capacitation plans that were supposed to go alongside with those applications. We were not satisfied with those requests. We therefore had to turn down the application on the basis of not demonstrating clearly how they're going to build capacity in the department, coming to how we're going to resolve that situation. With the idea of phase three, we have started by having a detailed discussion with the HODs of the departments. When I say the departments in this instance, I mean the grant receiving departments, education and health, assisted by public works as an implementing agent of choice, guided by provincial treasuries because of their legislative rules. We had a detailed discussion with them, and they understood what we wanted to do. Part of this discussion was saying each department that will be receiving a grant, provincial infrastructure grant, that will be participating in the IDEF, Department of Health and Education, needs to prepare sets of terms of reference that speaks to the issues that need to be resolved in that department. As part of that, we demanded that a person, or at least two people, be attached to those terms of reference, so that should we appoint a technical assistant to work into that department, we know exactly that the TA that will be appointed will be working with X and Y in the Department of Education, and that appointment will be accompanied with a skills capacitation plan that would have been approved by the department and signed off by the HOD. That's the approach that we are taking this time around. One level higher, once we have deployed all the technical assistants as we have done in all provinces except for the two TAs that are outstanding, one in Eastern Cape and one in Mpumalanga. We will then sign, my chief director will then sign a contract with the HOD of Treasury in a department binding the province to the best practices that I'll speak about at the third thing. To say, as a province, this is what we are committing ourselves into, including proper plans that have gone through a credible planning process, that have been budgeted for accordingly, that have been gazetted, and everyone knows what we are working towards, and their work plans, people could be measured against. Then, in terms of standardizing the infrastructure delivery environment, then the issues where people are not clear what needs to be done, that's where the hand-holding comes into place, where we will be training. In fact, we have started already training people. For example, the Government Immovable Asset Management Act comes into effect on Friday. We have received numerous concerns from grant receiving departments that they have not good understanding of what is supposed to be done. Already their training has begun to happen as a way of hand-holding them, so that should it happen that they require extra resources, there is a base from which to support or which to gauge what they are wanting against where they want to go. So those are the three big things, Chairperson and the committee, that we will be putting in place as a way of correcting the situation. The HR framework that will give us guidance, and subset to that, the internship program, not in a way that is being currently done now. I think in the previous session, Chairperson asked about employment opportunities. The internship program that we want to come up with in the infrastructure grant receiving departments at the provincial level is the one that seeks to give emerging graduates an opportunity to be in a work environment and to attach them by way of a contract to a particular department where they would have been placed and to develop them in line with the specifications for that industry. If we are appointing a graduate civil engineer, we take him or her through appropriate steps that are required by CESA or whichever body that regulates that industry. So those are things that, unfortunately, will take some time. We have received advice from the person who is assisting us with the HR forming that to set up this internship program could take anything up to 18 months. But we are convinced that once we've got it up and running, it will go a long way towards resolving long-term issues. In the interim, we've got the TAs in the Department of Health and Education that are assigned to work with particular individuals. So come 2013, when IDs used to exist, even before that, on a quarterly basis, we can pull out a work plan, we can pull out a capacitation plan, and we can check and we can make informed decisions. That's over and above all other measures that we've got in place to try and resolve the problem. I think the big thing in concluding, Mr. Chairman, is that as part of building these human resource skills in the department, as far as infrastructure delivery is concerned, the biggest challenge that we are trying to maneuver ourselves out of is provinces, probably due to the lack of participation of national public works at a national level in the ID program. There isn't a clear decision of what is meant by the role of the implementer in this instance in public works. Without us having that clear understanding of what we mean by the role of public works as an implementing agent, again, this process will take a little bit longer. Behind that is the fact that what we're trying to do as an IT program is based on common understanding. We cannot enforce the best practices or the principles of the IT program except through trying to do minor things through the implementation of the IDM, infrastructure delivery management toolkit, for example. But we would have liked to have the entire infrastructure delivery management system as thought through IDEX, legislated in its totality, but we can't do that. At least we're starting with these high impact, but on the ground issues where we're implementing the toolkit and the way of standardizing the infrastructure delivery process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nkosne. That's all right. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm aware the time is not on the side, Chairperson.
Yeah.
But while I'm listening to this accurate technical stuff from the two presenters, I want to go to specifics, Chairperson, and ask this question. Do IDEP have, does IDEP as a program have capacity constraints? And I want to born a couple of I want to look forward by saying you don't have a capacity problem. That would be your answer, I assume. If so, then go quickly to page 9 of your presentation. Bullet 1 and 2, I'm not going to read through that. With your massive capacity that you have, what was your intervention on that bullet 0.9? I don't hear that you did 1, 2, 3, 4 to intervene to arrest that situation there. What I hear there is that given this performance thing and the persistence in the performance,
poor performance, you withhold a fund in the tune of 2.5. But I don't hear you saying that we did 1, 2, 3 to intervene to make sure that that money is being utilized. Here I'm speaking to specifics. I hear your technical stuff, but I would have loved to hear your intervention strategy that you utilized to make sure that that 3 billion was not withheld. Chairperson, I'm being specific here.
Chair, I heard the presentation as to why things are difficult. I would have liked to hear more about the same model and the same thing. How we make things easier than being difficult. You know, there's a whole lot of explanation here about stop turnover, the low level of expenditure, the contractors this, the contractors this. These are all things that are normally said when there has not been action, where action has to be taken. There's a long list of issues that are various, that to things not to happen. So normally I take them a pinch of salt. Those are very nice footwork. The issue for me that I was wanting to hear, in fact, even you speaking about retention strategy, for what? You know, you costing it, you're going to carry the cost for it. If the retention strategy you're talking about municipality, that municipality or provinces has to employ XYZ, and if you're talking about retention strategy, you're probably talking about paying official, certain official X amount of money, and you call it a retention strategy. Earlier you were talking about the form, you were talking about other things, and you're talking about the contractors that are not meeting the deadline. Surely you don't need a retention strategy for that. And if they are unable to perform, surely there should be, in a contract that you enter into, in all arrangements you do, there's consequences for not doing X and the consequences for not doing that. So for you to use that as a defense, refuge for the failure of expenditure to a tune of 2 billion rand. It's not 200, it's 2 billion rand. It's a lot of money in a country like South Africa. In the fire that burns every day, it's a lot of money. Now, I don't know, I asked earlier a question, maybe that question is a difficult question to be answered at. In all these things, Treasury is walking ahead. You're walking in the front. You're responsible. You come up with all the mechanisms, you come up with all the regulations, all the good stuff. They're piling up and piling up. You walk in there and the department, the province are fired there, and there is no mechanism that brings them together to say this is what we need to do. Simplify things in order for the service to be provided. So I would like to hear, to see this costing of what is called the retention strategy. Because frankly, all that is a shifting target that moves away when you're supposed to do something, you create something there, and that's going to be the panacea of the problem that we have. This has got to do with some management issues. Management issues in terms of doing an expenditure and monitoring it in the department, and not being punitive, being proactive where there is a lack of capacity. Not to use that we have a section 16, and that it enables you that if you don't do this, we do this. It results in this under expenditure and the rollover that's going to take place. I ask again, you know, what must be done when something like that happens? Don't you have managers that take responsibility of the position that they held in treasury? Treasury's got highly skilled personnel. That's why they come with a lot of fancy stuff all the time. So, I think, Chair, for me, in fact, even closing this discussion, I hear and I respect all what has been said. It's a good ideas, good things. But as to whether it is a resolution to a simple thing, I don't know. I think it's not. I think it's moving, pushing the goalposts all the time. The issue is, you're saying to yourself, the official municipal A and B can't fill in the form. Somebody must help them to fill the form so that they can pull the resources from them. This money is still with treasury, isn't it? It's not even with them that as a result of their weaknesses they are unable to spend. It's still with the treasury, the money. So it has not leave, it's not left the bank. It's still in the bank. So the problem is the treasury. So, hey? Oh, I'm winding. I've winded down already, Chair, and I'm saying that let me leave it there. Perhaps further with the engagement, because I would like us to hear a little bit more and see the cost what you're talking about of this retention strategy that you're talking about. Who's going to carry the cost? Is this retention strategy that is going to take the money away from the services and give it to so-called people that must fill in the form or who must manage the contractors? Contractors work with a time frame. There's a schedule of work done and is monitored.
Thank you, Honorable Ramaphosa. Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chair. It's because whilst we are talking about the seriousness of this program and how it will improve the lives of the people and their understanding there, it's just that they say one of the reasons is that provinces not responding in time to IDP3 as their program is voluntary. So the voluntary part of it really is the one that maybe should be contributing to a lot of them, because if you created this program, you should have seen something that makes it a serious issue, that you know, you've realized that you failed in section 16 and 17. So we are coming up with this thing that might help. But it should have come as a problem-solving program. But if you create a program and in your very own notes, you come and explain to it as that this program is voluntary. You say they are having problems. And if you make it voluntary with their limitations, they'll avoid even you expect the IDP3 requires that provinces submit letters of acceptance and departmental work plans. You say they don't have any capacity. And how will they respond to this voluntary program if they are real programs which should assist them in service delivery? They cannot do because of not being capacitated. And we turn this serious program into a real voluntary program. I don't understand that part. Because to me, it shouldn't be voluntary. You should be coming up with strict programs that make them respond to it. But I wonder if a thing is voluntary, then someone who's incapable of doing his work can't achieve with the real grants that you give them for infrastructure, can respond to something that you bring in as an intervention program.
team respond to the voluntariness of IDIP 3, because it wasn't voluntary IDIP 1 and IDIP 2 initially.
Sorry, can you come again? What are you saying?
I'm saying, Chair, IDIP 1 and 2 were not voluntary. It's new that IDIP 3 is voluntary, and I would rather let them expand as to why that decision was taken.
Okay. So, just touch on a few things, and then people will respond for probably the digital question. So, in terms of national treasury interventions regarding the low levels of spending, so currently, like when provinces submit the infrastructure plans, which is what I said will be called user asset management plans, and when they submit what we call a project list and a planning infrastructure reporting model, so they will indicate even their cash flow projections in those models. And then, based on those cash flow projections, most of them will be projecting to break even. But then as time progresses, you find that actually provinces are not really spending. And then before even a decision of withholding starts, we actually inform them in advance to say, we are sensing, given the quarterly report that you have submitted to us, that it's like you're failing to spend. So what are the issues and so forth? I mean, most of the provinces in their responses, they will sort of indicate that maybe the planning started late, but obviously they are projecting to break even moving forward. But then as time progresses, you actually realize that they continue to fail to spend. But in any way, as one of the initiatives that was started by the support program on infrastructure delivery to deal particularly with the issues around procurement, is promoting the issues around the packaging of projects, wherein given the limited capacity within government, because if you take everything as a project, then you end up not having contractors, say within a province, that have the necessary CIDP grading, then what that model is then actually saying is to say, you need to package, for instance, similar projects, say maintenance projects, but then a department, for instance, will need to identify objectives. And some of the objectives may be to say, in this province, we have got this number of contractors with low CIDP grading, and then the main contractor, which may have a higher grade, will have an obligation in terms of actual capacity in the contractors to achieve a higher CIDP grading, such that moving forward, we have a pool of highly qualified contractors that can be able to take more projects moving forward. And then that procurement training is going to happen as part of the overall infrastructure delivery management toolkit that will kickstart around April or May. And then I'll just brush on the issue of IDIP being a voluntary program, and people will add on that. Because initially, yes, it was a voluntary program, but then after realizing that much as we try to instill good practice methodologies for infrastructure delivery and some provinces are not complying, then within the 2011, a division of revenue bill. So we have actually added, even within the grant framework, to say provinces that receive this infrastructure delivery grant should be able to comply with the best practice methodologies embedded within that infrastructure delivery management toolkit. And as part of that, like what Siko mentioned, there are three A's that are given to those provincial departments to actually hold them to make sure that they are able to plan and deliver infrastructure better moving forward.
Well, you really spent, I don't know, about 5 minutes, you know, but I'm not sure if I understood what you were saying. Maybe the members do understand. Because, but it's fine. Maybe the leadership will summarize really what you're trying to say. But I thought maybe it's because I'm sitting this side that if people. Overstate our welcome here. Let's try to really move
say what is the way forward. That's why we want to close.
Chairperson, in the committee, I'm going to be very short. The internship will be at the cost of the hosting department. We will only provide guidelines in collaboration with DPSA as far as infrastructure delivery is concerned. But the cost of it will be to the department hosting the learner. The specific chairperson, we can provide the exact details in terms of how much and what we did. But the biggest percentage of that line comes from where, for example, a province decides to cancel or to drop or to reprioritize the project list. In Limpopo, for example, the projects that were removed from the project list accounted to in excess of 400 million rand, not accounting for projects that disappeared in the project list of Eastern Cape and in other provinces. But in terms, when we have to withhold the funds, we do write a letter to the department telling them exactly why and how can we be of assistance to them. In terms of ourselves, as the capacity building program having the capacity, currently we do. But based on the legislation of some of the elements of IT program, as Michael has alluded, that will come through the division of revenue. Should departments really, really comply to those, we might need an extra capacity. And we have made provision for that in terms of planning. We have legislated, for example, we cannot legislate infrastructure delivery improvement program because that's a brand. We want to regulate the infrastructure delivery process which will exist up until Jesus Christ returns. And that process is captured in the Infrastructure Delivery Management Toolkit.
I didn't hear that other part. Fine, continue.
So what we will legislate is what will live beyond the life of IDE, which is the Infrastructure Delivery Management Toolkit that has sections that tell you to fill in a D4 form. You need to do this 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is how you need to do it. That's what we'll legislate. That's what is in the Division of Revenue that's coming through.
Mm-hmm. Chair, I think we should just thank you, the chairperson and the portfolio committee. I think we also need to highlight the fact that both grants have grown very rapidly in the last 3 years. And I think in terms of actual spending versus the estimated spending, we've been behind. But I'm not sure if everything has been taken into consideration during the rapid growth of the grants themselves. So service delivery, I think, should have improved, judging by the amount of money that has actually gone out, but not to the extent that was expected.
But I think that if you were to ask in your closing remarks, the last question to members, that were you satisfied with our responses, what do you think would be the answer? It's a rhetorical question that I don't want you to respond to, but to take it with you. But clearly, with us, you know, we're not dealing with women, the other department. We're dealing with people who are experienced in the field, who are established. Department of National Treasury that is supposed to lead these processes. You know, the question that we have not raised here as members, but I picked up, is that if you look at the expenditure at the end of the first quarter, one department is spending 25% end of the third quarter from the second quarter. Then the next quarter, the expenditure jumps to 60%. Over 9%, they spend 20-something percent. In 3 months' time, over 9 months, they spend the 20%. 3 months' time, 60%, over 40% is spent. So I looked at the, across many of them, so in different programs, whether it's in trust, whether it's in education, whether it's in health, whether it's in the road, you must look at the expenditure here and then say, is this really realistic? If we were to go now and say, but where are these roads?
40% of roads that you created in 3 months' time, when you could not do 40% in 6 months' time. Now, I'm saying, to us, your monitoring, Mr. Nkosi says the role of the implementing department in the province is not clear. The other thing that is not clear is not only the role of the implementing department. To us, it's not clear why is only national treasurer. What is the role of the Department of National Education? What is the role of the Department of Health, the other departments, which are really supposed to be working with those? You know, in the last year submission of the Financial and Fiscal Commission, they raised issues about this multiplicity of grants. Grants are good, they've got good intentions, because they say these are the government priorities, and therefore ring-fence the fund. But when there is a multiplicity of them, you know, you must look at those that were announced by the president now, the new ones that were announced this year, the old ones that are existing on top of the of the others. It's clear that we're bound to what they call it to have problems. Maybe somewhere you need to, what is the word? I don't know whether it's rationalized or what. This grant, so that it's clear that what is it that will go to education? There is that, and the one that was announced this year by the minister, they are also running. So there might be what you call the challenges there in those things. But, you know, what we are not satisfied with is Section 26, to me, around the preparations for the next year. To me, it says that by that time, there must be trust, by a certain time, there must be clarity in terms of how prepared is that receiving what they call a department. Now, we disperse funds here when people are not ready to implement. Yeah. And then it becomes a problem. And it's good you have a capacity building section. But the question that was not responded to completely was, how capacitated is the capacity building, what you call it, area? Because clearly, to us, there are challenges. Mr. Kosi, it depends on the report from the provincial treasurer in terms of this. Now here, we're talking about infrastructure grant to provinces. I think there are challenges. But, you know, all these programs, the IDIP, your neighborhood, they are important. That coordination that was raised by members, I think the issue of coordination, you have this grant, and the last question that Comrade Mashaba raised is about that.
we finish it. The last question that was raised about voluntariness, if there's such any term in such.
So if the province, if the municipality does not apply, well, they have not applied. But we, as national, we know that there is no infrastructure there. Don't you have the responsibility to say the people of this municipality, of this province, also deserve infrastructure? I'm not sure if we say no, it's not our responsibility. They must apply if they want. If they don't want, good luck. It should not be the approach. I think the approach should be ensured. You go around the country, you know where there are problems. The other day in KZN, on TV there was a report there that was saying children can't go to school on rainy days because they need to cross rivers. There are no bridges. What if they don't apply for this, what you call it, for this infrastructure grant there? It's fine, because they have not applied. It's not about the officials who sit in those offices. It's about the communities that we want to serve. I think that we must serve the communities and not serve the offices. If they do it, it's fine. If they don't, please. I think that is our, that's the last thing. These monies are lying there, it means that we're losing out on the job creation that government has said it wants to do. I think that if we don't implement, please, let's sit together. But I think the last thing that I want to say, we will invite you, not in this kind of a session where we deal with how much we have spent or not spent, but to discuss strategies of saying, how do we implement this successfully? It means that we need to invite provincial treasurers to come. Mr. Nkosi, it means that we need to invite your implementing, what you call it, department, so that it's all of them to say, where are the gaps? Why is this good program not succeeding? On that note, I'd like to thank members for working overtime. You're free this afternoon. All the meetings that you called this afternoon have been cancelled. So you're free. Well, thank you very much. That's the announcement, honored members, for us. Tomorrow there's a workshop that has been organized by the speaker. It's around this issue of the Parliamentary Budget Office. It's here. What, 9 o'clock? Yes. It's at 9 o'clock.